Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and earned a bachelor's degree in psychology from Wayne State, and a JD in law from the University of Michigan Law School. In 2000, he joined Clark Hill and today is a member of its executive committee. A past president of the State Bar of Michigan, he has just been named the president-elect of the American Bar Association. A consummate gentleman, his name, Reggie Turner. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Reggie Turner, a consummate gentleman, if I ever met one. Reggie, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Oh, it's my privilege to be here with you, Jack. You do a wonderful job with all of your work in our community.
Thank you. You likewise. Can we start by talking about two fabulous people, your mom and your dad, please?
Yes. My mother retired from the Detroit Public Library at age 73. She was a lover of books and really inspired my love of books, and the same for my three siblings, my two sisters and my brother. We all grew up reading daily, and it has continued to be a passion for all of us. My father was a Detroit police officer. He worked his way up through the ranks and became deputy chief of police in Detroit, then later became the public safety director in Cleveland, Ohio. And his last job before he passed away was as chief of police in Pontiac, Michigan.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad, Reggie?
Community service. And of course, passion for community service stems from my upbringing, particularly the religious part of my upbringing, going to church and believing in the need to give back to the community, to treat everyone well, to try to heal the sick and the afflicted, and try to solve problems for people, try to have an impact on the community larger than one's own personal goals and activities.
Why did you decide to go into law?
Well, it's a nice story for me. As I mentioned, my dad was a police officer and I adored him, and looked up to him. One day we were heading out to, run an errand, and we were putting our coats on in the vestibule of our house in Northwest Detroit. And I looked up at my father and I said, "Dad, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a police officer just like you." And he had a big smile on his face, and he looked at me and he said, "Son, that's very, very nice. But I want you to be a lawyer like my friend Elliot," and just kind of stuck with me.
You graduate from Kess Tech, you get a degree from Wayne State, and then you go to University of Michigan Law School, get your JD. That day that you graduated from law school, what did your mom and dad tell you?
They were very proud of me, but my dad confided in me that when he didn't see me marching in with the students at the law school graduation, he was worried that I'd overslept. And what he didn't know was that I was marching in with the faculty and the dean of the law school separate from the rest of my classmates because I was giving a speech at the commencement for University of Michigan Law School.
What was the basic message of that speech?
The primary message of that speech was that we had to use our law degrees for the good of the legal profession and, more importantly, for the good of the community. And that has been something that I've tried to balance over the course of time. I truly enjoy my law practice. I truly enjoy solving complex legal problems for my clients. But I also feel as though lawyers have an obligation to be stewards of the community and to ensure that all of the freedoms that our Constitution promises are available to everyone in our community, and to ensure that we as lawyers help to ensure that the rights of our fellow Americans are protected pursuant to the Bill of Rights and the entire Constitution of our great United States.
We're talking Reggie Turner. Reggie, how did you get your first job in the practice of law?
Well, I was a student at the University of Michigan Law School, and I had the privilege of being introduced to Dennis Archer, who was then the president of the State Bar of Michigan. He came to visit the school, and the dean made arrangements for me and some of the other leaders of the Law School Student Senate at the University of Michigan Law School to meet with the president of the State Bar of Michigan. Dennis Archer spoke to our small group in very quiet and thoughtful tones about what a lawyer does and the principles of our profession, which I've talked about, and of course, like to continue to talk about on a daily, weekly basis, because the lawyer's oath is just a very powerful statement about what we are to do in remaining faithful to our profession.
We're talking to Reggie Turner, and from 1987 to 1989, he was a law clerk for Justice Dennis Archer. When we come back, we'll ask him about Mayor Archer. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Reggie Turner, who has followed Dennis Archer as being the president of the State Bar of Michigan. He's now the president-elect nominee of the American Bar Association. Dennis was that. So the question is, are you going to follow him and be the mayor of Detroit someday, Reggie?
Well, I have had the privilege of learning a lot from former Michigan Supreme Court Justice, former mayor of the city of Detroit, former president of the American Bar Association and the National Bar Association, Dennis Archer. I would not presume to think that there's an opening to run for mayor. We have a great mayor in the city of Detroit right now who is a dear friend of mine, and I think he's doing a fantastic job.
Well, that was a great political answer. You know that, Reggie? So, okay, Dennis Archer, tell us about him, and what's the biggest thing you learned from him?
I learned that one has to fulfill the tenets of the lawyer's oath. That we respect our courts and our judges, that we practice law with civility and integrity, and that we practice with concern for both those clients who can pay us, but also for those clients who cannot afford legal services. And I've been involved in efforts to bring access to justice to those who cannot afford legal services in a variety of ways over the course of my career. It is part of our lawyer's oath. It says, I shall never reject from any consideration personal to myself the cause of the defenseless or oppressed, or delay anyone's cause for lucre or malice. And I try to live that out by giving service to those who cannot afford legal services.
Another thing you and Dennis Archer have in common is you thought the world of the late, great Judge Damon Keith. Tell us about Damon Keith.
A giant in the profession. Having role models like Dennis Archer and Damon Keith has really inspired me throughout my career in the practice of law. I have watched as they have broken barriers in the good way, seeking to create opportunities for people of color, for women, having great respect for our wonderful Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of our state of Michigan. I've seen them exemplify all of the best qualities in the lawyer's oath over the course of the time that I have spent with them. Judge Keith was just an amazing mentor for so many people. Over the course of time. And Jack, I know you had the opportunity to be in his chambers. It could serve as a history museum in terms of all of the accolades and awards that he received during the course of his career. And his rulings on important cases were groundbreaking and correct. And we're still living by many of those principles today.
I believe, Reggie, that Damon Keith had 37 honorary Doctor of Law degrees, including from U of M, Yale, Georgetown, etc. I had him on the show many years ago, and he talked about that. He used the phrase "the calling of law." What did he mean by that?
Well, it has a religious side of it. Of course, we talked about the lawyer's oath, but the calling is also, I think, inclusive of the faith that we have with respect to our religious tenets, upbringing that make it clear that we are to serve humankind As we serve ourselves. And that balance has to be struck for those who really want to be loyal to the religious tenets that we grew up with and to have positive impact on our communities.
In 2000, you joined Clark Hill, which is one of the most prestigious, if not the most prestigious, law firm in Michigan. Tell us about Clark Hill.
Well, I've had the privilege of serving at Clark Hill for just over 20 years now, as you mentioned. Started there in April of 2000, and 2 years later was invited to join the firm's executive committee. Fortunately, we have term limits, so I've had some respites from time to time from service on the executive committee, but I've been on the executive committee 3 different times in the 20 years I've been at the firm. And for most of the years that I've been at the firm, I've served on that committee. And over that course of time, we have grown from 85 lawyers to 3 offices to having over 25 offices across the U.S. and having offices in Mexico and Ireland.
In 2002, You were the president of the State Bar of Michigan. What does that role entail?
Well, the State Bar of Michigan is our primary bar association in the state of Michigan. It is what is called an integrated bar, which means that it is the bar for all lawyers. You know, if you want to practice law in Michigan, you have to belong to the State Bar of Michigan. And that bar is the governing body for lawyers in the state of Michigan. And it's where I really was able to get deeply involved in what we call access to justice. Access to justice programs have been around for a long time. Some, they're also called pro bono publico legal services. That means, again, as I mentioned, paying tribute to those individuals who need legal services and taking care of their needs as a part of our commitment as lawyers to protect the public in a range of ways.
In August, you've just been named the president-elect nominee of the American Bar Association. You'll become president-elect in August of 2020 and then actual president August of 2021. What will that role entail?
Well, I will be, of course, responsible for ensuring that the ABA meets its goals during the course of my year, that we stay faithful to the tenets of the lawyer's oath, that we provide great continuing legal education to lawyers across the country, that we attract them with programs that will help them be more effective lawyers, to help them maintain their skills, and of course, to ensure that we are upholding the rule of law. We are charged with the role of protecting the public in a variety of ways, and the American Bar Association is a great organization, as the State Bar of Michigan has been a great organization for me. Robert P. Hudson, who was the first president of the State Bar of Michigan over 100 years ago, said that a bar association must have as its primary object the protection of the public. And that is emblazoned on the wall at the headquarters of the State Bar of Michigan. In fact, he said, no organization of lawyers shall long survive if it has not for its primary object the protection of the public. And so that's what we've done work to do in the State Bar of Michigan and my tenure at the National Bar Association, and what I hope to continue to do in my work with the American Bar Association.
We're talking to Reggie Turner, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm yours, Jack Rasula, and we're with Reggie Turner, who's been with Clark Keough for over 20 years. Reggie, let's talk about that pandemic. What's it taught you in these last 3 months, and what's it reminded you of? Please.
Well, this pandemic demonstrates that there will be times when our nation and our world are stressed, and it has been probably the most disruptive force that I have personally witnessed in my lifetime, it does remind me of the 1967 riot. That's the last time I think I had this kind of anxiety and felt this kind of anxiety for our community. My dad, as I mentioned, was a police officer in the city of Detroit in 1967 when the riot occurred. For days on end, he was barely at home. He was on the streets trying to help bring peace to our community. And we could smell the smoke from buildings burning around the city. We knew that people were getting killed as this riot was going on. So very, very stressful time. And I do compare that to this pandemic in the sense that thousands and thousands of people have died right here in the state of Michigan and across our country. And it is a different kind of event than the riots that we experienced in several cities around the country in the 1960s. But it has created that level of stress. It has created that that level of harm that that we experienced then. So I'd say those are the two most stressful times in my life would be the 1967 riot and this pandemic.
You were 7 years old in 67, and soon thereafter, an Irish priest, Father Bill Cunningham, and a housewife from Downriver, mother of five, Eleanor Jositis, came together to start this thing called Focus Hope. Talk to us about Focus Hope and Father William Cunningham and Eleanor Jositis, please.
Two wonderful, wonderful people. I believe in my heart that they have been rewarded with sainthood in the eyes of our Lord. They were part of the healing process for my family after the riot, not only for my family, but for families all across the metropolitan Detroit area. They came together and said, we're going to build bridges, not walls. We're going to help people understand each other. We're going to bring diverse people together, give them wonderful programs to work in. And our family was paired with the Latanzio family from St. Clair Shores, a wonderful Italian-American family that had six kids. There were four of us, six of them. And we went to home and home events. We met at picnics in the park. We learned about each other's religion. They were Catholic. We were Episcopalian. And we learned a great deal from them. I had the opportunity of going camping up north for the very first time when I was about 8 or 9 years old with the Latanzio family. Gave me great appreciation for northern Michigan and the wonderful delights of the Great Lakes. They were it was a great pairing of two families that were determined to build bridges as opposed to barriers with respect to race. And I credit that process, that very intentional process from Father Cunningham and Eleanor Jositis and the parents of all of the families that came together in that Focus Hope program in late 1967 and through the early 1970s, working together to build bridges. And it had a great impact on me, and I'm grateful for it to this day.
Your mom and dad taught you to give back to the community. Judge Damon Keith taught you that. Dennis Archer taught you that. And man, you do that, you get an A+. So let's talk about some of the things you do. Detroit Institute of Art, you were the vice chairman from 2012 to 2016. The thing was on the verge of going under, and you played a key role in a Tri-County Millage campaign to raise $230 million over 10 years. It just got renewed a few months ago. How you guys do it?
Well, we went to the community and helped them to understand how important this museum is to people young and old in our community across the entire Metro Detroit region and literally around the world. It is one of the most special museums in the world. It's right here in the heart of Detroit, and it's worthy of support. We have been very fortunate to be able to make that case now twice, 10 years ago and once again in 2020. And I've been mentored there by so many wonderful people, including Dennis and Trudy Archer, Eugene and Marianne Gargaro, Richard Manoogian. We've had just some wonderful mentors. My wife and I got involved with the museum, now I'd say 15, 20 years ago. We joined the Founders Junior Council at the museum, which was the group for the under 40. So I guess it was more than 20 years ago. We've been active with the museum since then.
You mentioned Eugene Gargaro, also another consummate gentleman like you. What's the biggest thing you've learned from Gene Gargaro?
He is one of the best mentors that anybody could have, and he has many mentees, and I'm proud to be one of them. His equanimity and his concern for his fellow human beings is demonstrated in everything that he does. He not only has a very astute legal mind, a very astute business acumen, but he also just has that lawyer's oath in him that causes him to take on the causes of those who really need services. And his guidance, along with the guidance of Richard Manoogian, have helped the DIA through very, very difficult times, including, of course, the city of Detroit bankruptcy, where the creditors from around the nation and around the world were thinking that they could liquidate the art collection at the museum in order to pay the debts of the city of Detroit. And of course, you will recall that through a lot of work by a lot of people, too many to name, but certainly you have to give Gene Gargaro and Richard Manoogian credit, working together to bring people together to support the museum, to save the art, and to ensure that there were funds raised to help bring the city of Detroit out of its bankruptcy. It was a remarkable effort. Many, many people were involved, and I had the privilege of working with those leaders to get us through that time.
We're talking to Reggie Turner, and now a quote from Gene Gargaro. Quote, "I would say within the definition of leadership would be risk, judgment, initiative, creative thinking, generous listening, and hard work. And Reggie Turner has all of those in spades." And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to Reggie Turner, a president-elect nominee of the American Bar Association. Reggie, you have also been the vice chair of the Community Foundation of Southeast Michigan. What does the Community Foundation for Southeast Michigan do?
The Community Foundation for Southeast Michigan is a wonderful foundation that helps to generate resources for many, many worthy nonprofit causes across the Southeast Michigan region. And I'm very proud to serve under the leadership of Jim Nicholson and Miriam Noland, the chairman of the board and the CEO of the Community Foundation for Southeast Michigan. I've learned a tremendous amount from them. Their mentorship and my work at the Community Foundation has meant a great deal to me. And the work of the Community Foundation, more importantly, has been of tremendous benefit to our community. They have a wide range of interests, supporting nonprofit organizations, leading efforts to generate synergy among nonprofit organizations to tackle big problems in our region and to ensure that the public receives the benefit of a wide variety of these activities, from feeding the poor to generating opportunities for people to experience art. Across this metropolitan Detroit region, the Community Foundation has tremendous impact, and we are very pleased with the work that is being done, but we know that there will always be more to do.
Speaking of more to do, we're talking to Reggie Turner. He's also on the board of Comerica Bank, Masco Corporation. The man is everywhere. Reggie, your wife, Marcia, she's got to have a honey-do list. Do you ever have time to do any of those things on that honey-do list?
Well, Jack, one of the things that I do at my house, particularly for the benefit of my wife and daughters, is every week I do all the laundry in my house. Every week. And I've been doing that since Marcia and I have been married. I have always wanted our daughters to know that there's no such thing as woman's work or men's work, that we can all chip in. So I also help with the cooking around the house, but the laundry's all mine. All mine. I get it done. Spent yesterday doing it. Both our daughters are home at this time, and so we're all getting together. So it means I have a little more laundry to do than normal, but we're having a great time.
We're talking to a true Renaissance man. Reggie, you've practiced law for 33 years. What has this taught you about people?
Well, as I said before, lawyers have to represent everyone in a variety of ways. It's great to have big corporate clients and to serve those clients. It's great to represent large cities and large counties here in Southeast Michigan and around the country. We also take great pride in the fact that we do pro bono work, that is pro bono publico work for the benefit of the public, to ensure that the legal needs of people who cannot afford to pay a lawyer are met. And so that is something that, as I said before, it's important to remember that lawyers pledge never to reject from any consideration personal to ourselves the cause of the defenseless or oppressed or to delay anyone's cause for lucre or malice. And so that is one of the things of which I am proud.
Every time I've been around you for the last 20 plus years, you have this aura of classiness. You're very thoughtful, measured. How does somebody get that?
You talked about it earlier. We talked about my parents. We talked about Damon Keith. We talked about Dennis Archer, Eugene Gargaro, Richard Manoogian, so many others. I could go on and on and on. Jim Nicholson. I've had so many wonderful mentors during the course of my career and my work. The CEO at our law firm, Clark Hill, who's been the CEO since 2002. And as I said, we had 85 lawyers when he took over in 2002. And now we have over 650 lawyers in 25 offices around the country. I've worked with some spectacular people, and I've learned so much from them. And I'm very grateful for the time that they've given to me and what they've taught.
As our time winds down together this evening, could you please offer a few words of hope?
This pandemic is stressful. I truly believe that with our collective efforts to follow the rules, keep ourselves safe and keep people around us safe, that we will pray our way out of this and work our way out of this pandemic and reduce the stress and, of course, preserve life. And I intend to continue to do that with my family. And I intend to help those organizations that are going to be picking up the pieces from this pandemic. Let's all work together to build bridges rather than walls.
Reggie Turner, you talk about all these great people that have mentored you. You, sir, have mentored all of us. Please keep up the great, great work. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom.